To enhance your listening pleasure, the following program has been recorded in binaural sound. To reap the full benefit of this system, the listener should be wearing stereo headphones in a chair placed between two speakers at least 10 feet apart. The set itself should be equipped with a Dolby noise reduction unit with a high-quality separation mode on the amplifier. The speakers should have mid-range woofer and tweeter outputs, and unless the speaker housings are made of brick, should be placed on the floor beside a sturdy inner wall. The listener should sit with legs together and arms folded neatly across the chest. You should not fidget, cough, sneeze, blow your nose, scratch, stop it. I said stop it. And should not leave the room to make a cup of tea, go to the toilet, talk, eat, cook, read, change channels, glance out of the window, or switch off during the program. You should not daydream, let your mind wander, or think of things that you're going to do after the show. You're all like little children, aren't you? You can't pay attention for 2 minutes. I thought I said don't scratch. I said don't scratch. You're openly defying me, aren't you? I said don't scratch. I'm not going to tell you again. Thank you. Those of you who are listening on ordinary radio sets or car stereos, well, I've got absolutely no time for you. A lot of effort goes into producing a high sound quality, and you sit there listening on your tinny little transistorized bean boxes, and don't smirk. Just what do you think you're playing at? I thought I said don't scratch. Well, we're just about ready to begin. I hope you enjoy the show.
Cliché! Welcome to Cliché, starring Carol Heyman, Nick Maloney, Simon Malloy and Brian Southwood.
Mr. Brown, to see you, sir.
Who?
Mr. Brown.
Mr. Brown?
Yes. It's overdraft.
It's overdraft.
Yes.
It's overdraft. Send him in.
Mr. Brown. The manager will see you now.
Oh, well. Thanks very much.
Mr. Brown, please take a seat. Now, it's about your overdraft, is it?
Yes.
I love it every time you come to see me. What a scream. You kill me.
If you're owing on your rent behind on your HP, come to Brother Bank and we'll say ha ha ho ho hee hee. We will laugh at your account and your savings plans. Chortle at your overdraft, cause we're the laughing bank. If you're planning holidays or want to buy a car, come to Bradley's Bank, we will say ho ho hee hee ha ha. We will laugh at your account and your savings plans. Chortle at your overdraft, cause we're the laughing bank. Yes, we're
here at
the
Bradley's,
laughing
we can't
bank.
Always promise we'll yes, say no, but whenever we can, we like to.
We're the laughing bank. Yes, we're the laughing bank.
Simon Brown was born 28 years ago in a London suburb. He holds a top management position with a well-known record company. He is married with 2 children. To an outsider, he appears to be a perfectly normal, healthy young man. But Simon is suffering from a terrible handicap. What only his wife and closest friends know is that Simon can only say 7 words. He is suffering from a disorder known as vocabitis, or word scarcity. Simon, with a vocabulary of only 7 words, surely you must have tremendous difficulty in communicating with people.
No way, actually. Absolutely no way. Nonsense.
Oh, those are 4 of your words.
Right.
And that's the 5th. Working in the music business, where communication is essential, what do your colleagues think of your vocabulary?
Excellent. Absolutely excellent, actually. Oh. Absolutely amazing.
So now we have the 7 words. Absolutely, amazing, actually, excellent, right, no way, and nonsense.
Right. Actually.
That's incredible.
Absolutely amazing, right?
Great.
Excellent.
Yeah. Simon, despite your handicap, I understand that you're trying to learn an 8th word.
Absolutely.
That's terrific.
Right.
And the 8th word is brilliant.
Right.
Can you show us what progress you're making?
Oh, absolutely, right.
That's really very good.
Absolutely excellent, actually. Amazing.
Yeah.
No way nonsense, right?
No way, Simon.
Right, absolutely.
For Simon, it's a constant problem. Providing for his wife, Mary, and his 2 children, David Excellent Nonsense Brown, and little Sarah Absolutely Amazing Actually Brown, yet coping with his terrible speech disorder, vocabitis. And Simon is not alone. Thousands are like him, yet they go undiagnosed.
Amazing.
Many students, rock music critics, local radio disc jockeys, and many social workers all number among the afflicted. The excellent nonsense syndrome can happen to any one of us. Amazingly enough, even to me, actually. Absolutely amazing, right? At any time. Yeah. I mean, no way. It's really absolutely...
A glorious rally. A fine passing shot right on the line gives Corcoran set point.
This is the strength of Corcoran's game, Dan. He's so quick getting into the net.
So, Corcoran serving for the set.
Out!
Oh, and that call was terribly late.
Deuce! The ball was good. There was chalk. We saw chalk.
And Corcoran very unhappy with that late call.
It was very late, Dan.
We saw chalk. How could we see chalk if the ball was out? Why did the chalk fly up if the ball didn't hit the line?
Mr. Corcoran, please resume the game. Deuce!
We saw chalk there. We quite clearly saw chalk. You should get your eyes tested.
In a way, you can sympathize with Corcoran, Dan, but he really must get on with the game.
Didn't you see the chalk? Are you blind or something?
Advantage, Rogers.
Oh, for crying out loud.
Well, now, what have we here? Corcoran's been penalized for arguing with the umpire, and now it's game point against him.
Yes, Dan, and he's in real danger of even heavier penalties under the new disciplinary rules introduced at this year's Wimbledon to prevent just this kind of dissent.
For crying out loud, the ball was good. There was chalk. We saw chalk.
Amputate Corcoran's leg.
Well, it was coming, Dan.
At least play a let. The ball was good.
Amputate his leg.
And what a pity that such a wonderful match should be marred by an incident like this.
Yes, you can't help feeling sorry for Corcoran, Dan. Set point up and in great shape, and now he's lost that set point and one of his legs.
Ah! You're the referee! I'm not playing on without the referee! I'm sorry, but the ball was good.
Dear me, this is most unfortunate.
Yes, this looks like a repeat of the Nastase McEnroe match, Dan, at the French Open, where McEnroe went on to take the title despite being boiled in hot oil in the semi-final against Borg.
Yes, well, let's hope we don't see that today, Anne.
and Simon Robespierre. A special fragrance for a very special woman.
Mademoiselle Fou.
She is an autumn breeze. She is a haunting refrain. She is a child, yet she is a woman. She is laughter. She is fun.
Mademoiselle Fou.
She is freedom. She does not want to be possessed. When you phone her up, she's always washing her hair or seeing the girl, or going to night classes on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Then she doesn't want to see you anymore, but she still wants to be your friend.
Mademoiselle Fou.
She brings back your records, all scratched to hell, and your books with the backs all broken and the pages falling out. And she's still got your white woolly sweater, and it's your favorite woolly sweater too. You think about her all the time. You don't know why. She was rotten to you. She really screwed you up. She's crazy.
Mademoiselle Fou.
Now, Simon Robespierre have created a new perfume for girls just like her. Mademoiselle Fou, crazy laddie. For the girl who's emotionally immature and doesn't want to go steady with a mature guy like me. Crazy lady from Simon Robespierre.
Okay, I'd like to sing you a song now. It's about something I personally identify with very closely. But I think it's something we can all get off on and relate to it in a highly personalized way because it happens, I guess, to each and every one of us at some time in our lives. It's a song entitled, Now You're Gone. It's about a guy who wakes up one morning to find his ears have been kidnapped, buys a tuna fish overcoat, and then commits suicide by licking a policeman. Something I think we can all say, yeah, that's happened to me.
Oh, don't talk rubbish, you pompous X-60 do-nothing pinhead.
It happened once.
But it didn't happen to me.
Well, it wasn't actually. Well,
you big nose.
Actually. All right.
Philistine.
All right, I'll sing something else.
I got those midnight happy blues. I'm pushing 40, man, it's real bad news. In my faded flat Levi's and my desert shoes, my Che Guevara poster and my love page too. But now the whole love and peace trip's dead. I'm just a flower child with middle-aged spread. I started off a commune back in 63. They all married one another, now there's only me. Well, all the chicks have gone, I'm on my own. I have to do my free love all alone. They used to join in rallies shouting, ban the bomb. Now they've joined the rat race and they're making one. I've got those middle-aged heavy blues. Please tell me, what am I supposed to do? No more lovings, no more sittings, no more Vietnam. Now it's marts and skins and two-tone and Afghanistan. No one's groovy now, we're out of sight. No one's hip or cool or real uptight. No one understands me, man, it just ain't fair. I'm the only cat on earth who isn't square. I'm just a lost and lonely swinger who got those worn out middle-aged happy blues. Right on. isn't there some kind of deodorant or something? I mean, you know.
Yes, sir. Madam, can I help you?
Oh, darling, look at that little poodle. Isn't he adorable? Yes. Isn't he, John? Couldn't Mumsy give him a pink kiss? Oh, she could, couldn't she? She could.
Yes. We're looking for a pedigree chihuahua or Pekingese.
Well, we've got a very good strain of corgi.
Oh, no. Not a corgi.
No. Not a corgi.
Not after Popkiss. Little Popkiss broke Mummy's heart.
Little Popkiss, yes. Well, Madam seems very taken with the poodle,
oh,
sir.
Oh, yes, David. He loves Mumsy Wumsy already. Yes. Look at him. Yes. Isn't he a little cootie pie?
Did him. Oh, if Madam would prefer, how about these from the third world?
What are they? Darling, come and look at these.
Underprivileged children, sir.
Underprivileged children? What breeds them?
Human beings, sir.
Oh, no, not human beings. They're not as cuddly as a little poodle. Mm.
They're not very, cute, are they?
They're underprivileged, sir.
Oh, no, darling, let's have the poodle. I promise I'll spoil him to death.
The human beings are very intelligent, sir.
Yes, but are they expensive to keep?
Cheaper than the poodle, sir.
Really?
Oh, you are an old meanie, Boots. You horrid old skinflint.
I'm not. Darling, you can have anything you want.
Oh, I don't want underprivileged children. It's so outre.
Yes, poodles are very fashionable, aren't they? Yes. We'll take the poodle.
Yes, poodles are very popular, we find, sir. A much better seller than the underprivileged children. Can't get rid of them for love nor money. Listen to this. This is absolutely incredible. According to the United States Public Health Service of Food and Drug Administration, the acceptable level of contamination in coffee beans for human consumption is, wait for this, 10% insect-infested, damaged or molded. So, if only 10% of the coffee beans are infected with insects, then it's okay for you and me to drink. I like my coffee strong, full of flavour. That's why I always go for Crocola coffee. Because in each cup of Crocola coffee, you get this many coffee beans. This many insect heads. And this much mold. Freshly roasted coffee beans, newly crushed insect heads and thick, thick mold all go to make one delicious cup of Crocola coffee.
Sorry I'm late.
I thought you said you'd be in by 6.
Why, what time is it?
You know full well what time it is. Come on, sit down and eat your dinner.
Probably all tied up. I've been keeping it warm for an hour.
Oh, I'm not bothered.
Never mind you're not bothered. What about your mother?
What about her?
Christopher, if I take the time and trouble to prepare you a meal, I think the least you can do is to come in and eat it while it's hot.
This is it, isn't it?
What is?
This is.
Well, this is what?
This is it.
What is it?
You know full well what I'm talking about, don't you?
I don't think anybody does.
How dare you talk to your father like that?
Like what?
It's the same with everything. It's the same with everything. It's your attitude. It's your attitude to your mother. It's your attitude to me. It's your attitude to everything.
What attitude?
That attitude.
What attitude?
That attitude.
What are you talking about?
Don't be facetious to your father.
I wasn't being facetious.
That attitude, that's the attitude I'm talking about. That one.
I haven't got an attitude.
You haven't got an attitude. You come waltzing in here any time you feel like it, expecting your meals piping hot on the table. You expect your clothes clean and pressed. What do you think this is, a hotel?
I'm 17. I can do what I like.
17? I don't care if you're 117, my lad. While you're under my roof, you abide by the rules of this house.
Well, this is the thanks you get, isn't it? This is the thanks. This is all the thanks you get.
Thanks? For what?
Thanks. Your father has worked himself into the ground
to
make things just a little bit better for you.
You're wasting your time. You're wasting your time. You're wasting your time.
He's made himself ill.
Forget it. Forget it. It's a waste of time. Forget it. He knows it all. He knows it all. You can't teach him anything. He's 17 years old. He's been on this planet 17 years, and he knows more than his poor old wooden-headed dad. I mean, obviously, he knows more than me. I mean, obviously.
Christopher, when you get a little bit older, son, and a little bit...
Oh, forget it. I wash my hands of him, I do. I wash my hands of him.
When you get a little bit older, you'll... realise your father was right.
Right about what? About him having a wooden head?
What did you say?
Oh, nothing.
What did you say?
Nothing.
Did you say I had a wooden head?
Don't poke me.
Did you say I had a wooden head?
He did.
Me?
He said you got a wooden head.
So, I've got a wooden head, have I? Nothing but wood. Your poor old dad's got a wooden head.
He did.
A wooden head.
He
calls me a wooden head.
How dare you say your father's
got a
wooden
head? Do you know something? Do you know something? I think you're right. I think I must have a wooden head. And do you know something else? I think your mother's got a wooden head, too.
Yes,
that's what we are. That's what we are. The wooden heads. Just a couple of wooden heads. Because we let you get away with blue murder.
I wouldn't call my father a wooden head because I'd have known when I called my father a wooden head. You can't get through to him.
You cannot get through to him. He's quite happy in Cloud Cuckoo Land. That's where he is. Cloud Cuckoo Land. What is it you're going to do for a living today? What is it
you're
going
to do? What's that got to do with it?
You want to sail around the world in a boat, don't you? Sail around the flat world.
The world is not flat, it's round.
Oh, yes, it's round, all right. Your father's got a wooden head, and the world is round. Dreamy Dan, little dolly daydream.
Christopher, when you get a little bit older and you know a little bit more, you'll realise the sense of what your father's saying.
It's no use. It's no use. If he wants to sail off the end of the flat world, him and his mates, that's just fine.
Oh, yes.
Just don't expect me to bail you out.
I know I can do it.
Wouldn't it?
Christopher, where do you expect to get this boat from? Where do you expect to get this boat from to do this sailing in?
He's going to get it out of his father's pocket, I expect, as per usual. What do you want, son? A galleon or a man of war?
I'm going to go to Queen Isabella of Spain and ask her to give me one.
What? What? For nothing?
Yes.
No, Columbus is going to the Queen of Spain asking her for free handouts, whether it's boats or whatever.
Look, I've made up my mind. That's it. Forget it.
You know what you want to do, my lad? You know what you want to do, my lad? You want to be a bit more like Giuseppe Finkelstein. Now there's a lad who's going to make a name for himself.
Ho, ho, ho. Ha, ha, ha. He, he, he. You think the laugh's on me? They all laughed at Christopher Columbus when he said the world was round. They all laughed when Edison recorded sound. They all laughed at Wilbur and his brother when they said that man could fly. They told Marconi wireless was a phony. It's the same old cry. They laughed at me wanting you.
That was Cliché. Written by Rob Grant and Doug Naylor, with musical accompaniment by Tom Steer and Pete Lingwood, and starring Carol Heyman.
Mr. Brown! The manager will see you now!
Nick Maloney.
We saw Chunk. How could we see Chunk if the ball was out? Why did the Chunk fly up if the ball didn't hit the line?
Simon Malloy.
Absolutely excellent, Edward. Amazing. That went nonsense, right?
And Brian Southwood. It's about a guy who wakes up one morning to find his ears have been kidnapped, buys a tuna fish overcoat, and then commits suicide by licking a policeman. Something I think we can all say, yeah, that's happened to me. Cliché. Cliché was produced in Manchester by Ron McDonnell.
Good night, Mr. McDonnell.
Well, that's all from Cliché for another week. Some of you may be interested to know a Cliché record is available from most record stores, price £4.99. A book of the series is also available, price £3.50. Also, the Cliché adjustable stainless steel alligator wrench with highlights from the series printed on the handle is available from most DIY stores. The Cliché bumper pack of freshly harvested Jerusalem artichokes is available from greengrocers in Tel Aviv, price £2.35. And finally, the Cliché sulphur bottom finback whale is on sale at most large pet shops, price £7,000.99.
Ronnie of the Reds, a cracking new soccer serial in Leopard magazine for boys. The story so far, Big Ronnie Royce was captain of Mudseed Town until he was involved in a terrible car accident in which he was decapitated. Left with only his head, Ronnie finds it really hard to get back onto the team. Mudseed are playing Real Atletico, the crack Spanish team, in the European Cup final. Ronnie's head is substitute. Now read on.
Gula Atletico, nice one, Diego.
Come on, Mudsey, waking your ideas up.
Mudsey's Scottish manager, Scotty McTavish, is worried.
Oh, I'm really worried, Ronnie. These Spaniards are giving our laddies a real runaround.
Yes, boss, that puts them 19-0 up with only 20 minutes left to play.
Oh, the problem is, we've got no real strength up front.
Put me on, boss. I really feel in a goal-scoring mood.
Thanks. Oh, how can I send Ronnie on? He's only a head. He's only a substitute because everybody feels sorry for him.
But then...
Oh, all right, Ronnie. I'm sending you on. Do your best.
The substitution is made. Ronnie rolls onto the pitch. 2 minutes later, Lefty Lofthouse, Mudsey's winger, races down the wing.
Centre it to me, Lefty. I'm in the clear.
Coming up, Ronnie.
The pinpoint centre whizzes across.
Oh, what a goal!
Ronnie, it's it. The score.
No one was expecting a header from that low down.
That's 19-1.
Come on, Mudsey.
15 minutes later, Scotty McTavish is pleased.
Prince. Oh, that was a great idea, sending Ronnie's head on. He's scored a triple hat-trick, and he's laid on a few for Curly Black, our gypsy winger.
With 1 minute left, Ronnie is through.
Come on, Ronnie!
This'll make the scores level!
He's only got the goalie to beat!
But then...
Oh, you dirty Spanish wolf!
Oh, Ronnie!
Scotty McTavish is blazing mad.
Oh, no. Atletico's goalie has booted Ronnie's head into touch. And now the Spanish supporters won't throw it back onto the pitch.
Don't miss next week's Ronnie of the Reds when Mudsey's gypsy winger, who plays barefoot, takes all his other clothes off too.